morning, open to Psalm chapter 19, if you would please. Psalm chapter 19. What we're thinking about this morning is knowing God. Knowing God. A lot of people know about God, but how many people know God? And God, through His creation, calls the world to know Him, invites them, invites all to know Him, to understand Him, learn about Him. Matter of fact, He shouts out that He's there. And He shouts it out clear and loud from the heavens. And so God beckons people. God beseeches us to He invites you. You know, if somebody invited you over to the house, said, I'm begging you, I'm beseeching you. We have steak and potatoes and green beans and, you know, and some dressing and, you know, and a nice salad, 7-layer salad, cake, homemade pie. Just, if you get time, stop over. Brother Shell's having at this house today. But you know, invite you to know, God invites us to know Him, not just to know about Him, but to know Him and learn about Him. And in Psalms 19, what we have is we see that David is declaring God and thinking about God and the heavens. And in this great psalm, we learn about Him. We learn some things that refresh us and stir us. They're consistent and permanent. I'm glad that God doesn't change. I'm glad He's permanent. We can count on Him. And He's never out of date. Always up to date. You know, people today, they have to discard some things because they're just out of date. Can't get antedated. God's never antedated. Never out of date. Psalms 19, stand with me, please, if you're able. And I'd like to read the first 6 verses is our text. And many things in this chapter, but we'll start there with these first 6 verses. Verse 1 says this, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof." Let's pray. Father, help us this morning, once again, fresh and new, as we open this blessed book You've given us. We pray these words, God, would be pinned in our heart. And help us as we think about knowing You, to learn more about You. And God, You invite us to understand You. And we pray that our spiritual discernment would be high this morning. We pray, our Father, that our understanding would be open. Give us the vehicle of words to convey eternal thoughts here today. Help us. Help us with our words to be able to explain this great text that lies before us and be able to do justice to Your character. Well, we love You and we thank You for saving us and bringing us together and giving us a place to worship You here today and the people that love You. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. When I think about knowing God, and I think about learning about Him, and I think about if we really know God, you know, so often I talk to people and I think they just don't know God. They think they know what they think is God, but they don't know God. And a lot of times the father image is messed up in people's homes. And when we talk about a heavenly Father, a kind Father, a gracious Father, a merciful Father, they don't have that in their mind because that was not them being brought up. That was not their home. That was not their father's interest in their life. And they lack that security that we ought to be giving our children as fathers. How about an amen there? That we ought to see a sacrificial love, a caring love, and an undying love for their lives. And so a lot of times people have a misunderstanding of God because they have a misunderstanding of their father. I believe there's some things there to think about. When we know God, to know God would be to love God. We sang about the love of God, Brother John sang about the love of God. To know Him would be to love Him. I mean, you couldn't help but love Him if you knew Him. One time I walked out of somebody's house, they said, you know, made some statements that were just ridiculous. I left and I said, you don't even have a clue who your preacher is. You've been around me, but you don't have a clue who I am. You don't know me. And what would be my heart? And, you know, I always try to live a transparent life. Pretty. I don't like it, but it's the life that God chose for me, and I accept it. And it's called living in a glass house. Because my heart of hearts is I live up on a mountain alone. But because of people and because of the love of God, because I love God, I know what God wants me to do. And God gives never asks you to do something He doesn't give you the grace to do. And so I don't do it being grudgingly. But I know that God helps me to live it, a life that I try to be transparent. I don't expect people always agree with me, but I like our church people to know. If they say, well, our preacher, he doesn't believe that. I want them to know what the preacher believes, you know. And I'm not trying to get a clone of Don Snow. We want clones of Jesus Christ. We got a much higher goal. And so, you know, but I think it's important for people to know. You say, well, if you know my preacher, if you've been around him, you know this about him. And you should be, you know, if you've been around a while, you ought to get the idea a little bit of who somebody is. And I'm not for saying it. I'm for living it. I'm for your path ought to tell a little about you. My path ought to tell a little bit of what I'm trying to do that way. I mean, is that fair? You look back and what's going on here ought to be what you're trying to do here in the future. We're not asking something. We're not asking it in blind faith. Well, God, many times the same. I believe a lot of times we say things about God, and in my mind I think, if you know God, you wouldn't say that about Him. That is not God. I think of all the things today that people lump God's name in, make God part of, justifying God's far from it. Would we agree that to know God, I mean, to understand His greatness, His kindness, His almightiness, His omniscience, and just to know Him would be that we would love Him. Could I get an amen there? If you love Him, you would trust Him. There's not a lot of people I trust my life with, but there's a few. Somebody I trust my life with, I would believe this. If I was going to have some guards guard me, I would say, you guys die before me. Is that right? Otherwise, they're you know, when they hear gunfire, you're not the only one standing. they're there to defend you. That's the purpose of having a guard. They're to protect you. They trust. You're trusting in them. When we really take the time to know God, and I mean to get to know Him, you can't help but to love Him. And when you take the time to fall in love with Him, I'll tell you what a result will be. You will trust Him. I've made decisions that made no sense at all simply because I trusted somebody. I respected them, I loved them, and I trusted them. To know Him is to love Him. To love Him is to trust Him. To trust Him is to obey Him. You know, I don't have trouble that I try to witness. I try to be faithful with what He gives me and give back to Him. I try to be in His church. I try to be dedicated to the things He'd be. Why? Because I want to be obedient to my King. In our Sunday school lesson, we're talking about the King. Where we're headed as Christians, as a Christian, Jesus Christ is to be King of our life. He's not to be second or third or fourth in command. He's to be King of our life. And we're to be His bondservants. We serve Him not for filthy lucre. We serve Him because we love Him. And we trust Him. And we know whatever He would tell us to do, He has our best interest because we trust Him. And that's why we obey Him. A lot of times we don't obey because we don't trust. We don't trust because we don't love. We don't love because we don't know Him. We don't know Him because it could be because we're not saved. But if you're saved, and I'm encouraged, I'm speaking to a lot of saved people kind of gearing that way, but I'm thinking about saved, I'm thinking about get to know Him. Not just about Him, get to know Him. Because you will fall in love with Him. And there will be other fruits that will happen because of your love. We should serve God because we love Him, not because we have to. Out of devotion. I know duty calls, but I'm telling you, it's better to out of devotion to Him because we love Him. We're devoted to Him. God reveals Himself in this chapter. David must have just taken it all in. He begins to think about God. And here he said, the heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens. When you think about the heavens, it's plural. And it's talking about the different heavens. Well, you know, I think about David where he discovered these heavens and where he pondered these heavens in his life. There was probably a time he was a shepherd boy and he's looking up at the great canopy at night, staring up at the stars, and he sees that light shining through the darkness from way up above high. And you know, he's thinking that the heavens declare the glory of God. And David begins to, great psalmist, begins to write songs. You know, David must have been a great singer, something, because he could play and Saul and the demon wouldn't bother him when he was playing and when he was rejoicing in the things of God. I mean, there must have been something there. But I believe David learned that as a shepherd boy sitting out there. If you've ever been around church for a while, you'll hear us singing through the halls. Songs unwritten yet. Just, you know, bellowing out things, enjoying God. But if you were, it's kind of like shower singing. How many of you have written some great songs in the shower? You wish you had, amen! Only 3 people. I bet our altar is going to be full today. Only 3 of you sing in the shower. You got to be kidding me. How many of you ever sang in the shower? Let me see your hand. That's better. I feel better. I don't feel so isolated. Because I sing. I don't just sing. I mean, I write the whole orchestra's things in there. I mean, whole thing. I don't just stop. I bring in the brass. And I bring in the trumpets and things, or the string instruments. And I really do it. But David must have experienced that. He must have felt like that as he pondered God and thought about God. Probably in the palace, looking up on top of the roof late at night, staring up in the heavens, looking out over God's creation. Probably as a soldier, the tents and campfires at night. Maybe even off from the camp and looking at the camp and looking at the stars in heaven and thinking about what they're about to enter into, pondering and meditating about God. When you think about the heavens, the reason it's plural is because the first heaven speaks of God's abode. That's the first heaven. You know, and you enter into that by faith. Matter of fact, I'm a citizen of heaven, the Bible declares. When I got saved, I became a citizen of that heaven. And God allows me to be an ambassador here in America, the United States of America, a representative of heaven here on this earth. But I've never been there. I've never walked in those streets. I've never touched one splinter. I've never seen Jesus Christ. But I entered into that heaven by faith. And by faith, I invited him into my heart. And by faith, he saved me. And by faith, I'm not the same person I was when I was lost. I still have that old man to contend with, but I'm glad to say that the Spirit of God overcomes that old man. And God's in the transforming business. Well, we enter that. I've never seen heaven, but I believe one day when I faced death a couple of times in my life, and once, I don't know, if, you know, you can only get grace as grace is needed, but so far when I faced it, I faced it with a smile on my face, thinking if it's tonight, I'm entering into glory, I'm kind of excited, I want to see what it looks like. That's where my faith has taken me. So, I thought about it. That's the first heaven. I want to see the throne of God. I want to see the streets of glory. I want to see what God has made. He said that He goes to prepare a place for me. I want to see it. I've seen men make some nice places, but Christ is working on one for me. I'm anxious to see that. I'm anxious to see the carpentry work to that. He was a carpenter by trade. Boy, He knows how to build our life. He knows how to build a place for us to dwell in for all eternity. The second heaven is space. I can't help but think that David, as he looked up at the canopy of those stars that are out there, and he looked at that space and just in awe of that space, and he said, and he declares that it calls out, I'm here, I'm God. I've created this. And the heaven declares the glory of God. That's the second. And when we talk about space, we'll talk about it here in a minute, but I mean, when we're talking about space, we're talking a lot of space. There's a lot of room out there. You won't have to build next door to somebody. There's plenty of room. Plenty of room out there. And in the third heaven, I think about the skies and the clouds and the sun. And usually it's backwards. Usually the third heaven is heaven. The second heaven is the atmosphere. And the first heaven is this earth. When I think about that, I think about that we see that and we look out today. What a beautiful day. Can I get an amen? And we've had some great weather, the clouds and the blue sky. And I've even seen a dark clouds where it looked like it was going to rain. And up above the dark clouds, you could see the blue clouds and blue sky. And, you know, you could just see the sun breaking through. And it just, boy, just some gorgeous, gorgeous weather that we've had. David looked around and he acknowledged. It's interesting to me how that is, though. One heaven's by faith, one heaven you see at night, and one heaven you see in the daytime. You ever thought about that? That no matter what time of day it is, God still calls out, I'm here. Because if all that is a creation, then if there's a creation, the obvious, the conclusion is there's a creator. And so God cries out. The heavens declare the glory. When you think about the word glory, that's His splendor. Another word for glory is splendor. I mean, God's splendor, God's glory, it's God shining out. It declares about Him. As you look into the things in the day and the things at night and the things at faith, you begin to see Him. He created those things. And you're going to understand some things about Him. That's His glory. I like what one old preacher said this. He said, God stepped out on a platform of nothing and made everything from nothing, spoke it into existence. That had to be something. Making something out of nothing is quite interesting. You heard the story about the devil challenging God one day, didn't you? That the devil challenged God one day. And, you know, God reached down and made man out of dust. And the devil started reaching down. He's going to make something. And God said, hey, you got to make your own dirt. And you know scientifically that still holds true today, that man can't make anything. He can only use what God has created. Did you know that? I mean, that holds true. Pretty interesting. All those years have passed. And from Genesis and things haven't changed. God made those things. There was nothing here. It's hard to get something out of nothing. And God spoke and brought everything into existence. His glory, you know what the glory is about? His glory determines His personality, cries out. As a person, He cries out through creation. We could turn to Romans, and Romans says that we are without excuse that creation makes us guilty that there is a God. And man cannot deny it. Why? Because these things cry out, I am here. These three heavens. When it talks about the firmament there in verse 1, it says the heavens declare the glory, the splendor, the wonder, the almightiness of God. And the firmament, firmament, showeth His handiwork. You know His handiwork. If you go back into Genesis and you read about His handiwork, I mean, you read through that. I get excited. I mentioned this morning. Get excited reading about creation, God making these things, and God saying it's good, and it's good, and then God making man, making woman, and creating these things in 6 days, not 6,000 years, in 6 days, and then resting on the seventh, not because He was tired, but He rested on the seventh for man. Give man a break, make man rethink, recharge his batteries. But you think about that after all creation, it was like just as God was leaving, before He was done, He went whoosh, and created the heavens. I mean, that was one big whoosh, created the heavens. Now, our little peeny, tiny brain has a hard time ever even stepping out of Ohio. Let alone how big the United States is. Let alone how big the world is. I mean, you think of that, let alone do we even comprehend how much 80% of the world is water. How deep the oceans are, how vast they are when you're out there. Our brain has a hard time. Then when you begin to step out of that, and you begin to look at the earth, and you think the earth is kind of small compared to what God just zapped into the heavens. I'll give you an idea. Light travels a little faster than 186,000 miles per second. I think that's slow compared to the rapture. Talk about a Geauga Lake ride, Cedar Point ride. Well, that's going to be some ride, isn't it? How many of you are going to get excited that day? I may even try to hold my hands up as I go, you know. Watch this! But you think about that 186,000 miles per second. That means this. Light can go from here to past the moon in 2 seconds. How's that? Is that fast? That's pretty fast, isn't it? But traveling at the speed of light, it takes 4.5 years to reach the nearest star. You can, thanks. I like those wows. That'd sink a little bit. Mathematically, they said that as far as they can see the universe, that it would take 10 million light years to reach just the end of our universe. They know there's other universes out there. We're small-brained, aren't we? Now, when I read that, I'm reading Genesis, and I think, and God just said, there's the stars. One of my children said, they sent me a text and said, they love me more than the sand of the sea. I sent them back a text and said, I love you more than the stars in the sky. There's a lot of stars up there. And then I was singing this in the hallway here this morning, new song that hasn't broke loose yet. But I was singing it about, you know, how that David must have been looking up in those heavens and he saw the darkness and in the darkness, and yet God shined above the darkness. All these things, we call them stars, are higher than the darkness and busted through the night. And at night, we can stand out there and we can see things in the dark because of the heavens declare the glory of God. He lights up the night. And I think about my poor soul. I'm telling you that I know God spoke to my soul one day about being saved. That light shined upon Don Snow's darkness. And I'm telling you that God reaches out to this world and declares His glory. And it shouts out, I am here, and He invites them, us as humanity, know me, learn about me. He invites that. I tell you, it's a terrible thing, especially in America, to turn the hand of God away. I don't know how long the loving hand of God, I mean, He is in our, America is gone dark. And yet God, in that darkness, pierces the darkness and invites people to know Him. The opportunity is still there for your soul today. And when it talks about that firmament, I believe what that talks about, we have the glory, the shining out. I believe that's the person of God. And then when I think about the firmament, if my mind can comprehend that, I'll tell you, I see power and a creator that is, when we say almighty, it is beyond my little brain. I think traveling at the speed of light, it takes 10 million years to travel at the speed of light to reach the end of the universe. Then if I'm going to explore that, I want to travel faster than that. So who has invented that yet? I mean, what kind of ship am I going to need? I can't wait to drive it. Hey, who knows? How many believe that Elijah was taken to the third heaven on the fiery chariot? Let me see your hand. How fast was it? Well, one of the requests after I get into heaven, after I get settled, is, Elijah, I want to drive the chariot. Alexis Clark took me for a ride in a helicopter. And I was kind to her because she's kind to me. But one of the things I wanted to do, I wanted to fly that helicopter. She knew I wanted to fly a helicopter. She took my steering wheel. She did. But you know, I mean, I'm just that way after a while. Let me try. I want to fly this. I know what I'd be in line. He'd give me a ride because he's a kind guy. Give me a ride and I'd say, I want to drive. And then he'd say, whatever you do, don't say, giddy up. Don't do that. Giddy up. But you know, I mean, how fast was that? They went to the third heaven. It doesn't say. We'll have to read between the lines. But it went through the firmament to reach heaven. Then, you know, we see that God is a God of order in this thing. Because look at verse 2. It says, day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. What is that? I'll tell you what that is. In this universe, no matter where you go, it's an ordered universe. In our world, I mean, you think about, we are exactly the right distance from the sun. If we're any farther, we freeze up. If we're any closer, we burn up. We are spinning at a cycle. We're whooping around. It's a good West Virginia word. It was whooping around this world. I mean, we're just spinning. We're spinning, and we're gonna, and it's spinning consistently. What keeps it going? Somebody tell me what keeps it going 365 days a year, right on the button, spinning, orbiting 12 months a year, orbiting. That's why you have January, February, March, and you have different constellations with all those. What keeps it going? Where's the energy from? What hangs it out there? Why doesn't it go shooting off somewhere? Why aren't we bumping into something else? It's order. Creator is a God of order. He has a purpose for this thing. It didn't just happen. How'd you like to evolve that? What kind of goofball are you? I don't know how anybody in a sane mind could ever stand in front of anybody and says that's a fact. You've been educated beyond your intelligence. As we think about how that is in this canopy that's out there, that we can count on it. It's so consistent. You can count on the universe being in order. You know that there's still things being created. But when it's created, it goes into what's called black space. And when it's created, it has an order. It's from creation already. But it goes into black space. Do you realize if it didn't go into black space, what would happen? It would mess up the order of all the planets, all their gravity pool and everything that's going on. It would mess that up. It would be coming into that and it would change that. I'm just telling you that God has a purpose for everything. And so David began to comprehend it. I mean, if David could sit there as a shepherd boy, as in the palace, as a warrior, as a king, and he can acknowledge, boy, God shouting out his glories, shouting out everywhere. No wonder David couldn't help but to sing about it, couldn't help but to write about it, couldn't help but to play about it. He was compelled because he could see God. He began to know God. He learned some things about God. God's mighty. Maybe that's one of the things that he understood how mighty God was, and as a little ruddy lad entered in a shepherd outfit and a slingshot and five rocks, entered in to fight Goliath, who was almost 10 feet tall. That's as high as a basketball rim. And stepped out, and if you read the story in 1 Samuel, he stepped out and he ran towards Goliath. He was not trusting in his strength. I don't think if you looked at David, I believe he was a healthy, fine specimen of a man. But I believe what you wouldn't see him looking like, you know, the hawk. You know, I think you see, where does he get his strength from? He got his strength from God Almighty. And God empowered that rock. You know, even in that whole thing, I mean, that's a gruesome thing. David didn't hesitate a bit, pulling his sword out of his shield, whacking his head off and holding it up. And I think, you know, head, sinew, blood, guts dripping, and he's shaking it. Almighty God did this! And the Israelites came charging down over that hill, and the Philistines took off. There was somebody who knew God and could trust God because he loved God and he obeyed God. You see, those things go together. When I'm telling you, the big problem today is a lot of people just aren't saved. I mean, they don't know about how much love, how kind God is, how sacrificial God is. They don't know him. But they come to know him, they get saved. And they get saved, they would want to know about him. And know about him, they would love him. And to love him, they would begin to trust him. And in trusting, they would obey him. And as we did those things, I believe that we as God's people can still shake this country for Christ again. Because those examples of what Christianity ought to be would be throughout the world again. People need to not just hear about Christ, they need to see it again. What is it to be a Christian? David could see that the universe had order, it had beauty, it had laws. We say the laws of nature, and I think that's fine, but I want to really define what it is. It's the laws of nature came from the laws of God. It's really the laws of God following their order or their nature. The world of Mother Nature. It's really the laws of God. Order of God. And I close with this. Verse 3. It says, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Simply this, that declares the presence of God. So we've learned something just from those few verses. And there's much more in this chapter. We've learned something from these short verses. We've learned about that it takes faith to enter into God's kingdom. We learned about that the day and the night, as we look up, we see the stars, the sky, the sun, the moon, the clouds. This speaks of the glory of God is shining out. We learned about this person of God. We learned about the power of God, His handiwork in the heavens to create all this sun, the moon, the stars, the planets, the galaxy, the universes. We learn about the day unto day that there's a purpose, there's an order. God has a purpose, He has an order. And we learn about the presence of God, that it cries out. There's no language otherwhere. Otherwise, you can go anywhere and it shouts out. All these things that we've mentioned, any person can see these things if they look and observe and ask God to open their understanding. They'll see God shouting out for mankind to receive Him. There's really no excuses, not for a person to get saved. I want to tell you, God wants to save people. Maybe today, that you think about God who did all that, is taking a moment's time and time speaking to one individual heart about something this morning. I mean that God speaks to our hearts. How kind He is. Can I get an amen there? For God to take a moment to speak to individual life. I'll tell you, I'd hate to be an atheist. You couldn't even look up and say, God, I want to thank You for the sun today. I want to thank You for the warmth upon that. How many people have ever just thanked God for the warmth of the sun? Warmed your cold body up. I worked at Superior Meats, and I worked in a freezer during the day. A lot of times it was about 30, 40 degrees, and I was standing in front of a fan blowing on you all day long working like that. I would go out. It would be 90 outside. I have all kinds of wraps all over me. I'd go out there, and I would sit in 90-degree weather trying to thaw out for lunch. But often I thank God for the sun. I used to be a welder, and when we moved to Mass, I said, God, man, those welding shops are hot. I like a place, air conditioning. I think that place has air conditioning. They did have air conditioning. But you know, an atheist, he can't thank God for the day, can't thank God for the night, can't thank God for the stars, can't thank God for the beauty. Pretty sad, isn't it? You know God, we know about Him, you know Him. To know Him is to love Him. To love Him is to trust Him. Trust Him is to obey Him. We got a wonderful God. Easy to trust, easy to obey when you know Him. Stand with me, please.